Let's talk to Elliot right now. Elliot, good morning, buddy.
Man, do you remember back in the day when Joe Banner used to hate when another team stole the headline from the Eagles? I feel like this is the NovaCare has to be shaking right now with the news of your injury.
It is nuts, man. It's a funny way to frame it.
Sorry to hear it.
No, I appreciate that, man. I do. But, you know, tough guys, you know, keep going. And that's what my aim will be.
So what are you planning to do?
Try to keep going.
The good news is you don't have a season coming up. So you literally just have to do these next three things and you can pretty much rest the rest of your life.
That's
so
true.
I wouldn't worry about being healthy a year from now. It's about right now.
That's a fair point, man.
Leave it all out on the field, buddy.
Yeah. All right. So, Elliot, let's talk training camp, man. This is awesome. Eagles at camp, at least in the next couple hours. I keep saying that. Next couple hours. Tell us when those next couple hours are. When do they arrive?
Yeah, so they'll be reporting this morning. They'll obviously go to the NovaCare. All the players are expected to report, which I know we all assumed, but is worth noting when you consider all the just in the own division, the contract issues they're having, Terry McLaurin, Micah Parsons. So all 90 players are expected to report. They'll have a team meeting. They'll, you know, do their medical check-ins. And then tomorrow, first practice, 10 a.m. So it's not like the old days where we used to park outside of the Lehigh dorms and watch them walk in. We won't get any access today, but tomorrow they'll hit the field, and I'll obviously be there.
Is there a conditioning test today, Elliot, or tomorrow, or is that a thing of the past as well?
Yeah, I would assume the conditioning test is today. You know, I know in the past, I think a few years ago, Goddard failed it because he misunderstood the directions or something like that, but I would assume all 90 players will be out on the practice field tomorrow.
And
you'll have the results
of that, right?
Well, those are private, right?
Well, the results will be who's on the field and who's not, right?
So I think who's failed their conditioning test.
Yeah, so tomorrow, like I keep saying all 90 players, but N'Kobe Dean, I'd assume today you'll probably get the news that he is going to start training camp on PUP. So probably won't be all 90, but they'll all report.
Yeah. Elliot, let's talk about where this thing starts, maybe even before the conditioning, which will be a Sirianni address to the team. James brought up earlier that this is one of the most intriguing things from his standpoint, how Sirianni will attack this. Because obviously they've struggled in past years when getting to the Super Bowl the next year. Do you think he stays pretty consistent with what he's done, or there's a newfangled message that's like the new? Because like, I don't remember Tough Detail Together until last year. I don't remember You Can't Be Great Without the Greatness of Others until last year. But then he's got a stuff he's been using for 4 years. Which bag of tricks do you think he reaches into to try to reach these guys in a maximum way?
Yeah, so just from being around Nick this offseason, I think the message that he's going to probably preach this year is sustained success. I don't think you'll hear him talk a lot about repeating. I don't even think you'll hear him use those words or that word intentionally. So I think the message is going to be about sustaining the success. And, you know, not just from being around Nick, but from being around a team this offseason, I really do feel like they are confident they have found the blueprint on how to win. And I think the message from Nick will be, we know what it takes to be successful. And so we have to come in and do those same things every day that we've been doing so that we can have the same type of success. So obviously baked in there is a message of we can do this again. But I think the stronger message from Nick, what I expect him to say to the players is we have the blueprint. It's about doing what we've done and not looking ahead to just getting to the Super Bowl, which I think they probably did too much of in 2023.
Do we have the players it takes to be successful at the strong safety position right now, Elliot?
I don't think so. Not right now. I mean, there's certainly players with some intriguing upside. Andrew Mukuba obviously signed his rookie deal yesterday. He'll be at training camp. And I think they expect him to start. My guess is they are hoping that when camp breaks and they start to prepare for week one, they'll have Andrew Mukuba there as the starter. I know
so Fangio, he beats out Sidney Jones very shortly after camp starts.
Sidney Brown. But
Sidney Brown.
Sidney Jones, a throwback there. That's bit of a different situation. But Sidney Brown, I really don't think he has a very strong grip on the starting job. I wouldn't even completely rule him out as a potential trade candidate. We've seen that Fangio likes the guys he likes and doesn't like the guys that he doesn't trust. And they've had an opportunity to put Sidney Brown out there last year, and they really didn't, right? So I think he will obviously be given a chance in camp, but if they get to the second week and they're not liking what they see, it would not surprise me if they bring somebody in or they make a trade. But I think Mukuba is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
I'm fascinated. I think we're all fascinated by what's going to happen on the outside, cornerback-wise.
Yeah.
Kelee Ringo, outside cornerback, is that his job to lose starting camp, basically blocking Cooper DeJean in base situations?
So I think in base, Cooper will be out there. Cooper and Quinyon Mitchell will play 100% of the defensive snaps. That's going to be the plan. They're going to want him out there. Now, the question is when they go to nickel, which is essentially their base, right? They're going to play it probably over 75% of the time this year, if not more. So I think it will be Kelee out there to begin training camp. I do think it's his job to lose. The player I would keep an eye on, we haven't talked about a ton, is Mack McWilliams. Obviously not an early draft pick, but he was really good at the Senior Bowl. We've seen them really, put a lot of stock into Senior Bowl performances. He's someone that's played on the outside. He's played on the inside. And I thought he looked good in the offseason workout that we were able to attend. So I think if they had to play a game today, it would be Kelee on the outside, Cooper and Nickel and Quinyon on the other side. But if Mack McWilliams looks really good in nickel and Kelee struggles, it wouldn't completely shock me if Cooper stays on the outside and Mack McWilliams gets that nickel job.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. And what about Perry Nickerson? Perry Nickerson also, guy who is a nickel back by trade.
Yeah, so I think what he has going for him is he's been around Fangio for 2 years. He was with Fangio in Miami, but we saw last year that history didn't really get him much, right? If I remember correctly, he was on the practice squad all year. So I think he's somebody that, best case scenario, maybe makes the roster. But I think if Perry Nickerson is playing this year, they've not been able to sustain success if he's playing.
Elliot Short Park's with us right now. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. Started training camp today. We also have our Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Get 0% financing for 36 months and $1,000 bonus cash on select new Silverados. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, if only one of the teams, our teams, could win a championship in the next 365 days, which one would you prefer it be? We put them in order of how they will be sequenced. Moving forward, Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers. Which would you rather see win the next title if only one of them wins it in the next 365 days? Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Elliot, let's talk about the first-round draft pick. I think it is obvious that Jahad Campbell only became a first-round draft pick for the Eagles because of injury. Otherwise, someone would have gobbled him up 10 or 15 picks earlier. Are you hearing anything about when we may see him on the practice field?
Yeah, I think he'll be on the practice field tomorrow. It's a matter of what he does. Will he be a full participant? That I'm not sure of. But I'm very confident he will be active and playing week one against Dallas.
Wow.
So the question is really, what will his role be? And if I had to guess right now how this thing will play out, I think maybe he's limited tomorrow. Maybe they take him slow. But I think week one against Dallas, he will be out on the field in certain sub-package situations. I don't think he'll be a starter in week one. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I don't think that's where this is going. But I think he will be an active member of the defense. He'll blitz the quarterback. They'll put him in certain obvious maybe run situations if they're comfortable with him in there. But yeah, I feel good about where Jahad Campbell is at, and I think the team does as well.
So does he line up as an off-ball inside backer to start?
Well, I think it depends. So right now, obviously they'll play two linebackers the vast majority of snaps. And I think it'll be Trotter calling the defense and Zach Bond off of him. So those will be the two right now. That's what I expect to see tomorrow.
Wow.
So the question will really be, how quickly does Jahad Campbell pick it up? And I just think with how much Fangio values practice reps, the fact that he will have not gotten all offseason. Now, Fangio has worked with him one-on-one at some of these practices. So, it's not like he's not practicing, but Trotter's been here for a full year. He has experience. So I would be surprised if Jahad Campbell is one of the two starters week one, but I do think they will find ways to get him on the field. And really, his best role is disruption. Like, that's what he's good at now. He is good at just causing disruption. And so I don't think you have to be a full-time starter to do that. I think they can put you in situations that allow you to do that.
We've heard the name Smile Mondon a lot. How does he factor into that competition as well? You know, fifth-round draft pick this year compared to Trott Jr., who was a fifth-round pick last year.
Yeah, so he is a better athlete than Trotter Jr. You can just look at him physically. He's closer to Bond, I would say, athletically than he is Trotter in terms of build. Trotter's more of a N'Kobe type. I think Mondon is more of the Zach Bond body type. Not as big, but I think more long that way. And what they really like about him is his football IQ. He obviously played at a top-level program in Georgia. He played, I think, almost every defensive snap there. So they feel confident about his football IQ. I just think he's got too many people in front of him to win a job, but I expect him to be more than likely active week one. I think he can be a great special teams player for them. And then you never know, maybe injury, he gets in there. But yeah, definitely a player I'm excited to watch.
Elliot, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. I am curious if you think he will privately or publicly be any different. I mean, he seems to be wired the way he's wired, but he's now won a bowl, which some could say might make him more relaxed. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, you know, more relaxed. Maybe lets his guard down more publicly, maybe doesn't. How do you think winning the Super Bowl will change him either privately or publicly with how he presents himself?
So it's a great question. And I think that after they lost that Super Bowl in 2022, you know, we spent so much time talking about why did he seem different, right? Because the Jalen I heard about prior to that 2022 Super Bowl was not the Jalen I heard things about after the 2022 Super Bowl. And if you remember, prior to the last Super Bowl, the night before, he talked about how that loss changed him, right? And you could just see it, right? Once you get that answer, if that's what it was, you can see why he was the way he was the last 2 years. Now, will he be different? I would be pretty surprised if, you know, he holds court at the podium tomorrow and he's cracking jokes. And, you know, I just don't think that's who he's ever going to be. But I think the other question, too, is with Brandon Graham gone, and I know he'll be around, but he's not on the team anymore. Brandon was Jalen's closest confidant on the team, and you can just see they're around each other all the time. So I do think Brandon being gone might force him to, you know, I don't want to say like hang out with different people, but maybe force him into maybe an uncomfortable place he wasn't when Brandon was here. So it's a great question. I don't know the full answer to it yet, but it is an intriguing, you know, story going into the season.
Yeah, it's important. Elliot, who's the leader on defense? Is it Zach Bond or is it someone else?
I think it's Zach Bond. You know, I think Slay was kind of the leader last year. But I think Bond, you know, you can just see the way they promote him. You look at some of the mic'd up footage, how talkative he is. I think someone like Nolan Smith could step into that role. You would obviously like Jalen Carter to do it. But Bond, even though he hasn't been here as long as those guys, he has been in the league longer. And I just think he has more of a leadership personality. So Bond definitely up there. Reed Blankenship, I think, is an underrated leader on this team. But, yeah, it's definitely a year where some of these young guys, they're going to find out who has leadership ability and who doesn't.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, last thing. Which reporter amongst your brethren in that Eagles reporting group will be the first to ask Nick Sirianni if he's playing the starters in the first preseason game? And when does that question first get asked, which Nick Sirianni will not answer? When does that moment occur?
Well, I got news. I can make it happen tomorrow if you want. So I can control
this. Good luck,
this
buddy.
Yeah.
Dude, I dare you. I'll give you $100 tomorrow.
$100
if you ask him if Saquon Barkley. Ask him if Saquon's going to play in the first Eagles preseason game. $100, Elliot.
I mean, I've done worse for less than 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Elliot, stay well. We look forward to you on the beat, your practice report stats, and obviously joining the program many, many times over the next couple weeks alone. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff, buddy. Good stuff. Sean Couturier is going to join the program in about 10 minutes. Flyers captain gearing up for another season with the Orange and Black. A lot today on the Eagles after the offseason is done. All season's done. It's not quite the regular season yet, but it's a new phase. It's training camp. It's today. And that's awesome. We're asking you a lot about what's sort of top of mind for you that you are excited about and also intrigued about. One of the most intriguing things for me is how good will the defense be? I got a big old question mark next to that. I don't know the answer. I mean, like, there's some things you know. You know A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, for instance, barring injury, will be outstanding. There's no question about that. But I think 100% of Eagles fans don't know the answer to this question. How good will the defense be? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. Now, one of the things that certainly will help them be better than they otherwise could be, and I'm very pumped up about it, is year three Jalen Carter. I mean, yeah. It feels to me like he is a rightful... He's in the lineage
he
of...
He will be unblockable.
Yeah, like the organization has gone from Bill Berge to Reggie and Jerome and Seth Joyner and Dawk and Trott. You know, and you're going to have your Trent Coles in there, but I mean, I'm even going higher level, like Fletcher Cox and Jalen Carter. Like he's in there, man. He's in there. And it's his turn to be the guy. And I'm not saying he wasn't last year, but he could be even better because it's year three. Most players get better as they get closer to their prime than year two. So I expect him to be even better. And I know this. They actually need him more this year than last year because there was more around him. You know, last year, Sweat and Milton Williams were up there. Brandon Graham was up there. CJ GJ was way back there. You know, N'Kobe was in the middle. He's not going to be in the middle for a good while. So Darius Slay was out there. You had a lot of parts that aren't there now. So they need him actually even more. And I think that's a very it's an intriguing thing to be excited about. But there's a lot in there. All right, let's go to the phones. Also, a reminder, the Phillies won a game in crazy fashion last night. Let's listen to it. First time in Major League Baseball since 1971, a walk-off catcher's interference.
Oh, wow.
Philadelphia is challenging that there was catcher's interference on the play.
Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness, there was. Here we go.
After review, the call on the field is overturned. There is catcher's interference.
Wow! The Phillies have wanted a catcher's interference. Baseball is amazing.
Unbelievable. And we found out first time since 71. Phils won, Mets won, so Phils remain in first place half game up. Wheeler pitched outstanding. Bats, though, still not doing much, guys. I mean, let's be real. In the nine
but
innings.
Bryce's bat is.
Yeah, but man, Stott. Yeah, here's where I'm at on Stott. It's like a surprise when he gets a hit now. It's like a shock. Like, oh my God.
And that's why
he got a hit.
Last in our order.
I mean, he like never gets a hit anymore. I know I'm saying that a little tongue in cheek because it happens from time to time. He's batting two something, but it feels like he never gets
Your
a hit.
Expectations wow. are so low. You're like, oh, yeah.
I've only entered their re in like the last 4 weeks that they've gotten this low.
It's sad, though.
It's sad that Marsh really is sitting at like 5-6 and I think I have so much more faith in him actually getting a bat on a ball than Bryce.
Oh, no
Scott.
Question.
It's not even close.
It's not even close to where I used to feel about Bryce.
Marsh got sent to the minors this year. Like, I know it was the injury thing, but they kept him in the minors. Remember that? Like, he was that bad. He didn't have a hit for a month or whatever.
And there are times where Brandon Marsh swings, and it's just like, dude, you missed by 5 feet. Holy cow. What are you looking at? But Bryson Stott, who I thought was so shrewd. You know, in his approach, it's just falling apart. And the power just is completely dissipated.
Here's the only, and he's a very totally different type of player, but I'll give you the comparison that I hope it turns into, is Pat Burrell, who I think a lot of people will remember when he came up to the Phillies in 2000, established pretty quick. He was one of their better players, 01 and 02. And then there was a year, I think it was either 3 or 4. I forget which one. I think it was 3.
It was frustrating.
He was horrendous.
Yeah.
He was he batted like about 205, and a lot of us were like, whoa, boy, this just might not happen. Like, what we thought we had, we don't have. And they stuck by him, in part because he was a number one pick, and you don't just throw a guy away after a year. But let's remember, with Bryson Stott, this is 2 years in a row, he's really not been good offensively. So, now, Burrell got back on track, and obviously became a player for the next 4 or 5 years, middle of the lineup, helped him win a title in 08. Like, you can reclaim that. But a lot of players don't reclaim that. And I'm hoping that Bryson Stott can be that guy instead of this guy. Couturier, in the next 5 minutes or so, joins the program. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sam. How you doing this morning?
Anthony, sorry to drop that injury news on you, pal.
Hey. tough one, man.
I know.
Tough one, man.
I know.
You can hear the disappointment in Anthony's voice right now.
Don't give up on me, Anthony. The challenge is obviously harder, but unlike what Rock should have thrown in the towel to save Apollo in Rocky IV, I am not throwing in the towel. I'm going to try to win this thing.
Well, maybe you should, because you Apollo died.
<You're>
right. Wow.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was pretty good, man.
Oh, man, man. Oh, man. Hey, Joe. Damn. But, hey, Joe, it's all right, man. We're going to get him, man. We're going to get him, Joe. It's all right. Just like our birds, man.
Well, that's right.
Just like our birds, man. Relentless, man. It's all right. We're going to get him, man. I'm ready for some football, though, man.
Me too.
Ready for some football? Hey, I got the winning answer, man.
Let me hear it.
I'm trying to go to training camp.
Okay.
Hey, Joe, let's test your beat the hammer skills, man. Mets and Phillies, man. What happened?
So a lot of things we could say.
I know where he's going.
Are you going with the Bin Laden thing?
Yeah.
I'm going Mets and Phillies, man. Just like last night, man. Unassisted three-out play.
Triple play?
Eric
Brundlett.
Eric Brundlett, sure.
Eric Brundlett, the unassisted triple play. Yeah, that was certainly unique. No question. Now, yeah, I think there's been about 10 or so in baseball history. I'm a little surprised.
Phillies have two of them, which is wild.
Who's the other one?
Morandini had an unassisted triple play.
He did have one.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
He did. All right, Anthony, good call, good answer right there. The unassisted triple play. Now, is that in the weird enough variety? I guess
15
so.
15 ever.
Yeah, it's weird enough.
15 ever. I mean, that's pretty weird, yeah.
We're looking for a weird, unique thing from sports in honor of how the Phillies game ended yesterday. Let's go to JB in Chestnut Hill. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Joe. Hopefully you're doing your butterfly stretches, your lunges, getting everything all loose, ready to go. Hopefully
the sad thing is, JB, I really had been doing my stretches in addition to my working out. I really had. So what I found out yesterday may be the thing. I may just be structurally flawed. And that might be why. Remember when Greg Oden?
I know. Remember, a statement. John, though. Yes, one leg was longer than the other.
John, Greg Oden, one leg was like 2 inches longer. That's why he looked so stilted. Like, there's nothing you can do if one leg's 2 inches longer. There's nothing you can do. And
I played soccer with a guy whose one leg was it was an inch and a half longer than the other because of an accident when we were little kids sledding.
Right.
And he ended up becoming a professional soccer player. But you could see the limp.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of a gallop.
I mean, obviously, JB, this makes it easier for Fritz. But I will say this, and I will lean into this. It will heighten the absurdity for Fritz if he loses, and therefore, I would say, heightens the pressure on him. He now has to win. Has to.
Well, that's an interesting tack to take.
Can't lose to me. I mean, come on. At this point, that'd be horrible for him.
Didn't Brian Cox have one leg shorter than the other, too, in the NFL?
I don't remember that.
I think he did.
His middle finger worked perfectly fine, though.
Yes, it did.
He was hard to block.
What a player he was. Holy mackerel.
Hard to block. That guy was tough. That's a different era of linebacker.
He was
and
great.
All those guys, look at how big Seth is. Seth Joyner.
Sure.
You know, he's 6'3". You know, he's still 6'3", 200, probably 55 pounds.
Yeah.
And Brian Cox, same thing. He was probably 6'4", you know, 260, 65 pounds.
265. And then you got Urlacher, same kind of player.
Yeah.
Just monstrous human beings coming at you. Yeah. John, fun fact, you were talking about, you know, Rome in all the continents. You know what the most named city in the world is?
I'm going to go with Jefferson, because I know we got a lot in America.
York?
No, York's not a bad answer. What is it, JB?
It's San Jose. There's over 1,700 cities named after
old
St. Joseph.
That's, Joe, look at that. Listen, did he get injured as much as me? All right, JB, I want to get to Sean Couturier, who's ready to rock with this. Give me an answer in honor of that wacky, weird, unique win the Phillies had last night. Another weird, unique thing from sports.
How about going and staying with the football theme, the ending of the Iron Bowl when they went for the field goal and it was returned for a touchdown?
Chris Davis ending the 2013 Iron Bowl with that touchdown. That was absolutely amazing. All right, let's talk to Sean Couturier. He has become the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia sports, about to enter year 14 with the Orange and Black. By the way, tickets for individuals Flyers games go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. And obviously with year two of Michkov and year one of Rick Tocchet, there's, I think it's very fair to say, heightened not only awareness but interest in the Flyers and excitement about the coming season. And Sean Couturier has been around the longest. He is the captain of your Orange and Black, Mr. Sean Couturier. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, Sean. We're excited to have you on the program, man. So, you know, we talk a lot, obviously, in recent days about the Phils and their season and the Eagles, obviously, with the title. We're all hoping, Sean, that you guys join that group of, elite in Philly sports. Now, let's go back to when it started for you and now where it's at, because when you came here, you guys were good. And obviously, the last 10 years or so, for the most part, have been tough. So you got to be yearning to get back to what you experienced in your early 20s. How do you do it? How do you get, a lot of moves have been made. Feels like the club's now finally on the right track. How do you go from where you were the last 5-6 years to where you want to be? Where Rick Tocchet as a player was, by the way.
Yeah, it's been a while. I feel that we've had some big hype and some really high expectations. Like you said, I think my first year, when we had Jágr, G was coming out.
Yeah.
Hartnell, Voracek, Zimmer, Schenner. We had quite a team there. And that first year, I feel we really thought we were going all the way, and then we got kind of surprised there in the second round by Jersey. But and then it's been we've been there but not quite for the last, like you said, 10-12 years. And we've had some good years along the way. Never made kind of a true push, but I really feel that things are starting to turn around. I know it's been a rebuild these last couple of years, but it's exciting to see finally these young guys coming to into their own and filling out their potential. And I'm tired of losing, and I want to be back in the playoffs and play some huge games, and there's nothing better than playing playoff hockey in front of the Philly fans. So really looking forward to that.
Cap, how nice is it to play for a head coach who also had so much success as a player himself? Stanley Cup as a player, but then also success as an assistant. Yeah. Stanley Cup as an assistant, as cups plural. As a player, how nice it is to play for a guy like that who's been there and done that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Really looking forward to learn from him. And like you said, he's got quite the resume as a player and as a coach. He's done quite well for himself as well. So, there's a lot of things to learn from, and he knows what it takes to win it. I think he relates really well with his players just from the fact that he's played the game and he's had quite some success as a player. So, really looking forward to getting going and getting to work with him and turning things around.
Sean, speaking of turning things around, do you feel, because I feel this, I'm curious if you do, the renewed energy amongst the fans? I mean, I think, the Jonesy thing and the Briere thing kind of started it a few years ago, but the team wasn't ready yet. The Michkov thing was a big thing. The Tocchet thing's the next sort of big thing. You've had some acquisitions this offseason that have obviously generated, I'd say, renewed interest. Do you feel that the fans are feeling that? Do you sense that?
I do, and I think it all starts from way up top, Dan Hilferty, since he's taken over. Like you said, he's hired Jonesy, Danny B, and it just triggers down. It's that I think that effect that kind of rubs off everyone, and he wants to be close to the fans and be honest with everyone, and you can feel that passion again and that excitement. It almost reminds me a little bit of Mr. Snyder when he was there. So, it's fun to see.
Jonesy, we worked with him here, and he's hilarious. What's it like? What's he like running the organization now?
Oh, he's the best. He's great. He's calm. He's funny. He's just a great guy to be around, and he's always the same. I don't think he's changed much since being you know, president, as he was probably working with you guys. So he's fun to be around. He's probably the most positive guy in the organization, and it's nice to have him, you know, close to us as well. He's not just upstairs in his office. He likes to come to the rink and be around the players and know what's going on. And awesome. You know, that I feel that connection really you know, helps players to kind of just adapt to the environment.
It's incredible. You know, I'm thinking, Sean, as I'm sitting here next to my buddy John Ritchie, who played for the Eagles and the Raiders, played for guys like Al Davis as an owner, Joe Banner, a team president, Andy Reid and John Gruden, a head coach. I'm guessing, John, that those four weren't one of the guys. because Sean, no. the Jonesy we experienced here was one of the guys. I mean, you say he's just one of the, he's team president, but he's just one of the guys? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, like you said, there's, you know, he likes to make connections and get close to players, make people feel comfortable and talk to, be open to talk to, so... yeah, it was a little different than with John, that's for sure.
Awesome.
That's phenomenal.
Well, Sean, we're looking forward to the coming season. Obviously, training camp and the preseason, then the regular season games, and we hope postseason this year. Reminder to everyone listening, single game tickets for the Flyers go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. That's 10 a.m. tomorrow for tickets to the home opener or any of the games. Home opener is Monday, October 13th. As the Flyers with Sean and the squad take on the Florida Panthers in mid-October. But for tickets to that or any of the games, you can get yourself to PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. That's PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Hey, Sean, congrats on really, obviously, one of the better runs for you individually, you know, in many years. Longest tenured athlete, and we hope for much, much greater team success for your squad in the year and years ahead. And we appreciate you joining the program today. Thanks, Sean.
Yep, thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Thanks, Flyers captain Sean Couturier. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone calls on all of these topics, including the react to Couturier and the coming Flyers season, which we're not quite on the doorstep of, but we're getting closer. Eagles, obviously, to training camp today. In a matter of hours, we'll reconvene as a squad, or really convene for the first time, because there's guys like, you know, Campbell and others walking in there for the first time for a training camp with the Eagles. Well, this Tuesday morning, hope you're having a great start to your day. 94 WIP. Reminder, or maybe if you weren't listening earlier when we said it, announcement. We'll be at training camp tomorrow and five other shows thereafter. So our schedule for when we will do shows from the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles practice and obviously have some players, maybe some coaches on the show. Our schedule is Wednesday and Thursday of this week. We'll be there tomorrow and Thursday. Next week, Monday and Tuesday. And the following week, the Monday and Tuesday thereafter. So we look forward to it. I mean, we love it. I mean, come on. Of course we love it. It's watching the Eagles practice. It's their back. They're right in front of us. And we get to talk to, you know, often key players and bring you those interviews.
John's like a kid in a candy store.
Yes.
You could hear it through the, because I don't get to see you guys when you're down there. I'm here. I can hear his happiness through the airwaves.
James, of all the interviews we've done, and we've done many for about 8 years, I guess, what stands out to you?
When John called Dallas Goedert thick.
That's it.
You don't remember that?
No.
He was like, man, you're looking big. He's like, you're looking real thick right now. It was amazing. All-time moment. I remember that.
Do you remember that, John?
I don't remember.
So I'll give you a negative, because most of the stuff's very positive, but I'll give you a negative. There was a linebacker, and I forget his name. John asked him what he got to work on. He said,
I know who? Exactly who, what you're going to say.
Who was it?
Who was that?
Well, I don't know, but his answer was, I got to be more violent.
Oh, yeah, it was, hold on.
And me and John looked at each other like, I guess the coaches
the
are telling him
this happening.
What do you have to work on?
He was a nice guy, but he wasn't a thumper.
Was like Eric Wilson, maybe?
No.
Was someone like that. It was one of those type of guys.
Was someone like that.
Man, I got it. Holy
cow. You know, every once in a while, you get a football player that just doesn't. I mean, look, who am I to say? I'm the guy that gets injured running to first base. But, you know, he's just. Every once in a while, it's like when you hear an answer from that, it's like, oh, no, the coaches are telling him you don't play violently enough. That's not a good sign. Whoever it was didn't last too long. I remember when we did the interviews 2 years ago with Brandon Graham, and it might have been Kelsey on the same day. It might have been. These things all kind of run together. But, I mean, it's been fun through the years. And so tomorrow, check it out. We're not sure yet who will be on the program tomorrow. Typically, they're pretty darn prominent players. So we look forward to bringing that to you tomorrow and beyond. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Joe calling from Clayton. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Let me get you off thing.
You got it, pal.
So listen, just to go a little bit off the lighter side of sports, I just love WIP, all the shows. I don't listen to the news no more. I'm not involved in politics anymore. It's the world's a really tough place to live in. So 90% of all my enjoyment comes from sports and WIP.
Well, I appreciate that. Very kind of you, Joe. The world has gotten kind of wacky in some ways, and we love what we do, and we're glad that you enjoy it as well. I mean, I'll say this. I'm not speaking for our show, but as a station, there's never been more listeners to WIP in the history of the station. And maybe some of it is because the world, especially news stuff, kind of beats a lot of people down. So maybe that's part of why people gravitate more to us than ever. You think it is, Rhea?
I just know I did a deep dive on my Twitter thing about maybe a year or two ago.
Yep.
Where I got rid of the only thing I follow is sports and animal stuff.
Yeah, you're trying to keep it lighter.
And I'm way happier because I'm not, what do they call it, doom scrolling?
That's what they call it.
Yes. Yeah, I don't do it anymore.
That is the correct term.
The only doom scrolling is if the Phillies, you know, can't get a hit.
Right.
That's the terrible thing I have to deal
with. And then, Joe, the other thing that's made a substantial difference, because shows come and go and change and sometimes get better, sometimes get worse, but the Odyssey app, having the reach to get to people all around the nation and the world through that app, it's an enormous difference. Not to mention how many people just locally use it, because, you know, you can listen to it anywhere. So it's awesome. But, Joe, we appreciate the kind words, man.
Yeah, listen, I just want to go something that I want to ask all you guys. If you're sent to an island and you have one album you have to bring, what would that be? You don't have to answer me now. You know, later on you could all go through. But
my first thought was Church Hymns. I don't know the name of the album. I mean, I'm saying a prayer to try to get off the freaking island. Give me One Bread, One Body. Give me
seriously.
Give me How Great Thou Art.
Oh, man.
Give me some of that.
He ain't that great if he's got you dropped on an island in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe he'll get me out of the jam. You know, Gilligan got off the island by the end. I think.
Spoiler alert.
Wonderful.
I don't know. All right, Joe, give me an answer, buddy. What's a weird, unique thing from sports?
Well, I was there when it happened, and it happened in the early 90s, and the Phillies are playing the Dodgers. And the Dodgers batted out of order.
Oh, that's a good answer, man.
That's a good answer.
Every once in a while it happens, but it is rare.
It feels like once a decade, if that even.
Batting out of order. So you see it kind of, I don't want to say frequently, but you see it in Little League because, you know, it's chaos back there. You got like 7-year-olds, you know, grabbing bats and people just go out of order. But at the major league level, that is.
Didn't the Mets do it in the last couple of years? I feel like it happened. I don't know.
I don't remember. But when the Vikings drafted out of order, that was crazy.
That was really crazy.
I think four teams jumped up.
They did. No. I think it was two teams skipped him.
Was it?
Yeah, they went from 7 to 9.
Oh, my Lord. Let's go to Mike Redman.
That
go ahead,
question,
John.
If you had to take an album to a desert island type thing, I do think you have to consider Green Day, American Idiot to be like a formative American album at this point. Like, I think that might be. It tells a story. And it's an incredibly popular and really, I think a lot of people listened to that album at a time when they weren't really listening to albums any longer, cover to cover.
Because it started to tell kind of
a story.
Yeah. And look, I don't know. I'm thinking either Church Hymns or Christmas Music. I mean, you're going to be by yourself.
The worst answer.
It's silent. It's Silent Night.
I don't ever want to be stuck in a 6-hour car ride with you.
Oh God!
Because I can imagine the music would really suck.
Maybe it's Nevermind, Nirvana, Nevermind. That's an awesome album.
I think you got it. Here's what you got to do. Like, you really got to think about like the double. Remember that when they would be the big like double disc albums. You got to get something that has as much music
Rolling
as possible.
Stones,
yes. Something like
Great
that.
One.
Yeah, where you get like extra anthologies.
Yeah.
It is cheating.
Yeah.
That's the point. You got to cheat in this situation.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe.
All right, let's just get the Odyssey app. Listen to WIP. How about that? Mike, right now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Joe, congratulations on the book. That's extremely exciting news.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that a lot.
No problem. And not for anything. Who would have thought, I mean, Joe, kudos to you for toughening up. And who would have thought that Joe DeCamera is mentally tougher than your superstar, quote unquote, on the 76ers? Love it, Joe.
Well, I haven't proven that yet. So, you know.
You're at least going to try.
I'll say this. I'm not backing out of this. Like, if I have to have surgery when this is all over, and that's certainly possible, then I'll do it. But I'm not backing out of it. I'll say this. I do wonder if I win tennis.
Just concede the running.
I may rest my starters for game five.
You mean you're right? Yeah, concede the running.
I may rest.
I don't think that would be stupid.
I'm just saying all options. Because at the end of the day, Mike, the goal, I'm like Jalen, the goal is to win.
I honestly think you could walk as fast as you run anyway, so just walk it.
Yeah. What'll be interesting is if the injection yesterday helps. Like, it could provide some relief. I don't know. We'll see. It'll take some time to know, but we'll find out.
What were you doing when you noticed you needed this injection?
Well, I would say the day after baseball, it became, because I had been working out and running.
You've been swinging.
Well, it wasn't the swinging. I think it was probably running to first. Because I had been running.
Did you feel a tweak at any point?
Not during that, but the later that night and the next day, it was like, I'm now feeling something I hadn't felt while working out. Because let's be real. Like, while it didn't look to you guys like I fully turned it on running to first base, for me, that was fully turning it on. I know that's pathetic to hear, but I did what I could do. And it may have aggravated and or injured a situation. So created, you know, it. So to answer your question, I realized within about 2 or 3 days, something's not right here. I got the MRI, met with my doc yesterday. That's, you know, injection, physical therapy, surgery possible. That's where we're at.
Oof.
Getting old, Joe.
But Mikey, but here's the deal. It does put a lot of pressure on Fritz. I mean,
there we go. That's what I was looking for right there.
I mean, if he loses to like Kaiser Soze, that ain't good, man. I mean, come on now, you know. I'm going to be limping around. This guy's got to win.
He has to win. Come on, he has. It was like has to win.
Yep.
John. So let me tell you about the birds. What I want to see the birds, because actually for me it dovetails into your other topic, your other question of which team in Philly would people want to see win a championship this year?
Yeah.
And there's only one answer, and the answer is the Birds. Everybody should want the Birds to repeat, okay? Because if they repeat, they go down as one of the greatest franchises of all time. We're now talking dynasty, okay? We're now talking three
dynasties. Dynasties, three victories. Well, if you count 17.
But if they go three Super Bowls in 4 years and win two of them, it's not dynasty, but it's pretty damn special.
It'll be,
you know?
Yeah, it'll be kind of like when Washington won the three in the 80s. They were spread out. 49ers won four in the 80s. Three of them were spread out. So, you start taking some of that on. Yeah.
And guess what, Joe? For those of us that are, you know, in our 50s, we look back upon those teams as some of the greatest teams of all time.
Well, there's no question. So, yeah.
Okay. So then they become that team. Plus, not to mention the repeat. There's only been, I think, 8 teams to repeat in history. You know, so you become a very special organization. You become a very special, you know, sports franchise amongst all sports franchises if they win the Super Bowl. So for me, that's what I'm looking forward to. I want to see them run this back, doing it with some new blood, but yet also the other new kids taking another step. Like Jalen Carter is going to solidify himself as like the next beast, the next Aaron Donald coming into the season. You know, look, there's been teams that were great one-offs, like the Bears, like the Ravens. Yeah. This year, oh man. Our whole history that we grew up where the Eagles were just like, they would kill us every single year. That's dead. That's history. We have become that franchise in football.
That's pretty cool.
So that is the only answer.
All right, Mike, I need an answer from you. A unique, weird thing from sports.
Okay. So you know what you might remember? There was this guy. He was a football player, late 90s, and like football was a little different back then. He had one job, and his only job was to smash people and open up running lanes. He was out on the West Coast. He was long-haired metalhead. However, he was like this intellectual guy on top of it. But his like little calling card was he had this bloody forehead. And I think they even called him the Horns. And it was so special to see because they don't make them like that anymore. And that is our very own Mr. John Ritchie.
Look at that. Mike, let me say this.
You're John freaking Ritchie, man.
Good answer, well done, Mike. Ritchie.
So the bleeding forehead was unique.
Yeah.
Like, it was. Like, I can't – like, when – Like, he's the only player I think of like that.
Do you know anyone else that did it with regularity, John? Because I don't.
There were guys. There were guys who would get caught.
Yeah, but I don't mean
but
the
not like it was like every
I don't
game
mean the one-off
like.
Cut. I mean
it
the,
was a problem.
It's my point. You were the bloody forehead guy.
Every
Listen,
week.
It could be a winning answer
it's
for
It's a fascinating
years.
Answer.
It was, it, yeah. And it eventually got to where, like, it didn't matter who was in the training room. They just would stitch it. You know, like,
wow.
You could just, hey, stitch me up, please. Oh, yeah, I did that last week. I don't even know who you are. Just stitch me up, please. Okay, this week we'll try to super glue it. Okay, this week, what? It really, like, nothing worked.
Did they ever, this is a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it. Did they ever put something beneath that area but above your eyebrows to prevent blood from going into your eyes?
No.
Like a little bridge thing to, like, catch the blood.
But it was solved when I got here to Philadelphia. The staff, an incredible equipment
staff. What'd they do?
They sent me to Chicago. They flew me to Chicago to the Rydell headquarters where they did a special front pad and a special helmet that was customized to me.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, good job by the Eagles organization.
Awesome Eagles organization who is always just one step above. They cared enough to send me to the specialist who made a nice helmet for
me.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so the caller there referenced our Twitter poll question of the day. Let's all weigh in and give you our answers. I don't think it's an easy question, but maybe for some people it is. Poll question today brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With Armin's annual sizzling summer sales event and savings event going on now, visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. So I'd asked this question yesterday randomly, and Rhea kind of submarined it.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, it was a valid answer. So yesterday I asked the question, which Philly sports team would you like to see win the next championship? And Rhea was like, well, take the Phillies because that's the next season that ends. So, okay. So we ask a different version of the question. Today's real question is, if only one of the teams wins a title in the next 365 days. And let's be real. We'll take only one because, you know, like we never get two. But if only one of them wins a title, which one would you prefer it be? All right, Rhea, I've got them in chronological order of how the seasons finish.
Okay.
Phillies, Eagles, and then Flyers, Sixers. They finish around the same time. Which would you choose, Rhea, and why?
Phillies, no question about it. Just because I feel like their window is shortening, a lot shorter than I think the Eagles. I think the Eagles can be very good this year, and they might not win the Super Bowl, but I think they can contend for the next couple of years. They got a lot of young players. Phillies team, you know,
it'd be very satisfying if the Phillies get it though.
It would be awesome. So you know, I'm going Phillies.
All right, James.
So I've gone, all four at points. I've convinced myself that that's the answer. Mike just made a super compelling case. You know, we heard John Middleton talk about the 27 Yankees, and he wants to be the Eagles have a chance to be one of those teams, like an all time great team.
Which, by the way, we've actually never had. Because even the Flyers in the 70s winning two in a row and getting to three straight cups.
Not like the Oilers.
It's not like people say they're Edmonton or the Islanders in the 80s or the Canadians.
Exactly.
No one ever says that.
So we have that on the table, but I think I come to where Rhea is. I think let's just make 2025 the greatest year in Philadelphia sports history, bar none, period, two championships. And I think that point is salient where it's like, I want to see Bryce Harper win a championship. I want to see Zach Wheeler win a championship. I want to see this group of guys, Schwarber, like together win a championship. And I think that if they don't do it soon, I don't think they're going.
Follow-up question to James. I think I know the answer. Is Harper, of all current Philly athletes, the one you'd be happiest for him if he wins the title?
Without a doubt. And I know that Wheeler deserves it as much. It's not a Wheeler Harper. It's that I think for Bryce, I think it matters so much to him. I think he cares so much about the history of the game, about his legacy, about where he places in that, about all that stuff, that I just think for him as a player, it means more than it does to anyone else.
All right, John, we got two Phillies votes so far. Which would you say? It's not easy.
It is. Man, I would love to see the Phillies take this thing. And I know that the Phillies can actually do this if they, you know, time it up right. But I'd prefer, I'd prefer two in a row. I'd prefer we make this thing. It doesn't have to stop at two. But two in a row would be so phenomenal.
It'd be amazing.
And I don't think it's too big an expectation. This team is geared to overcome all of the shortcomings that befall the teams that win it. They really have, even it feels like since they've won it, they've been dialed in to figure out a way to overcome how hard it is to win it twice. And so let's see what you can do, guys. Let's see you make good on this challenge.
So, look, I've also kind of gone in, I was going to say a million directions, but I guess it's four directions trying to figure this out. But before the show, when I kind of landed, I said Sixers. And here's the reason I say Sixers. Well, number one, I've never seen it. I was 5 years old in 83. So, you know, done.
You're really a huge Josh Harris fan.
Exactly.
Big time.
Here's what I know. Right now, we have two very good to great teams in Philly sports and two not good teams. So if the Sixers were to win it, it would mean we'd have three very good teams, because I don't think the Eagles and Phillies aren't going to be good. I mean, you know, so you'd still have them in your back pocket as good. The Sixers would join the fray. And here's the kicker for me on the Sixers. The only way the Sixers could win a title, the only way, is Joel Embiid would have to fully reestablish and actually do something he's never done, which is stay healthy through a playoffs and, like, really do it. See, it's the only way it can happen. I mean, all due respect to Edgecombe and Maxey and et cetera, et cetera. Those guys aren't leading the Sixers to a title. The only way it could occur is Joel. So, like, if I could just snap my fingers and say which one, I'd say Sixers, because not only would it mean we have three great teams, it would also mean Joel then could have potentially another three or four great years. I think it would change the whole equation. Now, look, it's like fantasy world. It's not going to happen. But I'm answering the question. I would say Joel reestablishes. He's back amongst the greats in the NBA. And away we go. So that would be my, but it's a tough one. I mean, love them all. Hopefully David Robertson can help the Phillies win a title. He's got a shot to. Now, he's going to start in the minor leagues. Remember, he hasn't pitched since last year. Pitched 70 innings, pitched 72 innings last year. And had an ERA of 3.00. And he talked yesterday upon the news from the Phillies officially being announced that they had signed him. He talked about how he's going to start in the minors for a bit. And then try to help the Phils in August and beyond. Here's something he said.
But I don't want to come back if I'm not ready to step in the lines and help this team win.
You may have kind of answered it already, but the comfort level here specifically, how did that play into your decision?
Yeah, I mean, I know all the staff here. I've been here before. I've had a great run here. Third time's a charm. I mean, listen, this is the place I wanted to be.
I'm excited to have that guy in. I think he's, again, like, I've seen some pushback where people are like, well,
he's
why?
He's a pro.
He's good.
A pro. Yeah.
I mean, he sat out the first 4 months because with millions of dollars in his bank, he didn't have to pitch. I mean, that's it. He didn't have to pitch. And he talked about that him and his wife made a determination at the age of 40, hey, let's have you with the kids. And then if you want to go later in the season to join a good team and you know you're, I don't want to say guaranteed to pitch in the postseason, but very likely to pick the right team. And he's picked a team in first place. And he can. It's
I love
not
this. Hey, hon, I'm going to go get a part-time job right. for anywhere from $5 to $12 million. Oh, sounds
right.
good.
And Rhea, you know what the great thing about a situation like that? Family doesn't have to relocate.
No.
It's just 2.5 months.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 3.5 if they go all the way to November, and you go play baseball and
enjoy the summer. I'll be back in. You
totally.
Know,
I mean,
late,
what a life.
Late October, hopefully early November.
What a life. So I'm glad he's a Phil again.